Mr. Walter?
Yes, ma'am.
This is the hearing lead for you, so could you please state your full name and your ADC number?
Stephen Matthew Walter, 287-645.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. And this is concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on August 3rd, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, on that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of those rights is you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself in the hearing. Are you representing yourself, or did you hire an attorney today, sir?
I will be representing myself.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'd like to introduce you to the board members. You can't see us. We normally do this on video, but you can't see us today. But we have the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair, and the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing. We also have with us in room the Honorable Mr. Oliveri, who is with the Department of Corrections, and he will represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today.
Okay, thank you very much.
So I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Walser and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Walser?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and Mr. Oliveri?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Walser, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will determine if you violated the terms and conditions of supervision. And then in phase two, we determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I need you to respond whether it's true or false. Okay, so we'll start phase one of your hearing. And the allegation is that you were in violation of condition 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report to the Pima Reentry Center, located at 1275 West Star Pass Boulevard in Tucson, by 11 a.m. on January 9th, 2018, as directed in writing and verbally on January 8th, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown unless you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Walser, is that true or false?
True.
That's true? Okay, sir. But based on Mr. Walser's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed Dr. Wright and Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Walser, we'll move to phase two of your hearing, which is probably the more important one to you, and that is whether your community supervision would be reinstated or revoked. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Mr. Oliveri to give us all some background information about your case. So just stay on the line there, and just we'll be right back with you in a minute to ask you some questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sir. All right. Thank you. Mr. Oliveri?
Billy Walser was released from the Department of Corrections on April 18th of 2017. He was arrested on July 8th of 2018 by Tucson PD under absconder warrant only. Returned back to DOC custody on July 9th of 2018. He has 180 days of scone. His projected supervision end date will be on December 13th of 2018. Current conviction, 2012, trafficking and stolen property, 5 years. There are no prior convictions noted. He has only one term with ADC. CU and IR scores are a 43, mental health score of a 2, and substance abuse score of a 2. There is no STG game information noted. There are no prior terms of supervision. He has minimal disciplinary history. It should be noted that upon his return to DOC custody, he did receive a minor ticket for disobeying a verbal written order. Other arrest in 2013, controlled substance violation, Indiana, felony conviction, state prison. And also in 2013, burglary, first degree, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. His community risk level is a G1, B1.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Oliveri, can I just re-verify the community supervision end date? Because we're showing January 18th, 2019.
Okay, I will double check with
you. Oh, okay.
According to the sentence calculation computation, with the 180 days abscond. This new supervision ending is December 13th of 2018.
Well, that's good news for Mr. Walser.
Yeah.
That certainly is. That's about a month later, a little more than a month. Okay, Mr. Walser, we have a brief written summary of your supervision, and it looks like you were released to live with Karen Acosta at 3863 Antequera Drive in Sierra Vista. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then you moved over in August, it looks like you moved over to Behavioral Systems Southwest on South Park in Tucson?
Yes.
Okay, that was to complete a program there, or what happened there?
Is it okay for me to kind of briefly talk about my case now?
Sure, yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, I just have this written on a paper so that way you guys can all get the facts of what was going on with me.
Okay.
Okay, so I was admitted into SAGE counseling 418 and completed 803 of 17.
Okay.
When I had first, I failed four straight drug tests, and before so I admitted to all of them. But due to the fact that I was owning my own business, I was taking care of bills and whatnot, Connie Collins had directed me to go to detox 8/11 of 17. I actually called Behavioral Systems Support Southwest to go there a day earlier because I was eager to get into the program. I was admitted into Southwest 8/14/17 and graduated 11/03/17. But the problem with that was I asked to leave early because of my good behavior. I was giving people that were their patients jobs in Sonoyta where I worked full-time. I owned my own business, renovating from the fire that happened in Sonoyta. I gave about five people jobs, giving them, you know, benefit of the doubt, helping them out.
Yeah.
And Don Barrett, Connie Collins, Gabrielle Bland, who was the Behavioral Systems Southwest Director, all granted this for me. And due to the fact that at the time of my absconding, it was around January, I believe, I just got word that my mother was dying. I relapsed from that. And Connie and them knew about that. Don Barrett knew about it. I told them that I would not turn myself in due to the fact that I did not want to be inside a facility when this all happened to my mother. I did not know the exact date. I just knew that it was coming soon. She passed away in May. May 17th, I believe. Her name is Chung Felker. And after that, it took me about a month to, you know, try and get myself to turn myself in because I was still on relapse. My brother passed away June 4th, Josh Felker. And I was going through another little term of relapse then. But every 2 weeks after I absconded, I did call Connie Collins or Don Barrett letting them know my whereabouts, what I was going on, and what I was doing, because I never wanted to keep running. I was just wanting to be there for my mother.
Right.
And when I turned myself into the hotel, I called the sheriff's department, and TPD came a little bit afterwards, and they came and picked me up. I was in prison, and the girl that was I was with, her name was Renee Doty. She passed away July 30th, and I got word of that from the chaplain on August 11th. She was carrying my child, and I was raising her daughter as well as a step-parent in a way. But the whole reason I turned myself in and was ready to was because I was tired of chancing what could have happened between Renee and her child and me. I was done with it, and when I did turn myself in, I was clean. I tested clean in the DOC facility. And so all of my talking to Don Barrett and letting him know what was going on with me, telling him that I would be clean before I turned myself in, and he stated that would be a good thing. And I'm going to be very honest, Don Barrett, Connie Collins was more than just a PO to me. They really pushed for me to do good. They saw a lot of potential in me. I mean, for them to, you know, take my word in getting inmates to go work, you know, where I was taking a chance myself, but so was he. And I just want to say thank you for your time, for letting me discuss all this. And I did write a paper to Ms. Gabrielle Bland, who is the Director of Behavioral Systems Southwest. The only difference in this program that I'm asking for is that I complete the entire 90 days instead of requesting sooner. because I think even in Gabrielle's heart, she said that I should have completed it fully just to follow through with everything. And throughout all the programs that I've ever been through, I believe that her program works the best. I mean, it got me to realize the value of being free and, you know, creating a base for yourself. And when you start creating boundaries before you get out to the free world, you already got a jump start on life. And just to maintain that. And the one thing I did not follow through with also at Behavioral Systems Southwest was to get counseling. She asked me to go to this counseling place right down the road. I forgot what it's called. It's more like a, what is it called? Like a cult program. Mm-hmm. But I needed therapy. And even now being in DOC, I'm not going to say what's best for me. All I can say is what worked for me. And the counseling that I took from BSS, his name is Marcos and Mr. Hawk. Mm-hmm. They both have two different styles of, you know, counseling. And they both, for some reason, got through to me. And the fact that I left early to try and be there for somebody who was broke, her name was Renee Doty, and that was wrong of me. I jump-started, you know, what, I didn't know who I was still. I was trying to fix somebody when I wasn't fixed. And I see that now. And pretty much if given the reinstatement today, I don't know if I'd get out Friday or whatnot, but I know that I have 107 days roughly until my end date. The 90-day treatment program is 90 days, which leaves me 2 weeks of parole left. And to me, going to that program, whether I get a job or not, it's not the whole point. It's me dealing with all this grief from the deaths that I've been going through and getting my life back. And that place is, I couldn't recommend a better place. And Ms. Gabrielle, I talked to Don Barrett about going back there. I'm not sure if he has talked to Gabrielle yet, but I do believe that if I were to get reinstated, he was going to send me to PRC in the beginning, and then I would have to earn my way back to BSS, because honestly, getting to BSS, that's a privilege program to me. I mean, to get all that health in one place, I mean, that was an honor, and I wish I would have completed the whole thing.
Okay, sir.
And then also, when I get out, I've already talked to my previous employer over at Empire Homes in Sonora. His name is Ray Chapman. He has given me the opportunity to have my job back. But that's not the first thing I'm going to do. The first thing I need to do is get help and get therapy. And so anyways, that is my side of the story. I didn't want to give you one excuse on why I relapsed, just the fact that I was dealing with my mother's death. And other than that, everything that you've read on the paper you have in front of you, that's true. I own up to it. Everything I did, you know, things could have been different if I didn't make that choice to relapse. And I'm sure of that. But I did relapse, and, you know, I apologize for myself, not to anybody else.
Okay, so, well, thank you very much. That was a very comprehensive statement you gave, and it lines up with the information we have here. So all of the information about you staying in touch with Don Verad and et cetera. But please, let me just extend on behalf of the board condolences for all of your losses, sir. You've just had more than it appears anyone can bear.
So, yes, you carry my child.
Yeah, we're very, very sorry for all your losses. And it does sound like some grief counseling would be something that could really help you.
Yes, like I said, I'm not one to say what's best for me, and that would be saying, oh, if you let me out. No, that's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking for is to take the opportunity to think about what process I need and what I told you what worked. And I really don't know what I'm going through right now. Being in prison, it shows, like, you know, the value of being free, the value of taking the time to, you know, address yourself as a man and know what's important first. And when I get out, the one thing I will do is be selfish with myself. You know, my time to get myself together.
You deserve that at this point. Okay, so I'm going to see if fellow board members have any questions for you. Have a question? Anybody have a question? So, Mr. Walford, you turned yourself into the Tucson PD. How did that happen?
I called them July 8th. I called the actual sheriff's department. It got verified that there was a warrant. I talked to the hotel clerk, and he was a friend of mine, and I told him I was turning myself in. Please call the sheriff. He was on the phone roughly about 15 minutes. I went to go lay down on the lobby, and then the next day I know, I guess TPD came, and they knew I turned myself in. They were trying to verify everything, make sure that was going on. Okay. But yes, I did turn myself in.
Okay, sir. All right. Well, Mr. Walzer, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing. I'm looking at, let me just verify, was the only drug that you had used was methamphetamine, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so no, there was no heroin,
no,
nothing else. And did you have a long history of using that, or was that recent, or?
No, I started using meth when I was at the age of 20. I believe right before I turned, locked myself up the first time, I was only using for roughly 6 months. And then when I got out, I used again.
Okay,
and
so that
the first time I relapsed back when I got out of prison in 04-18-17, I was using meth, and the reason of that relapse, and Connie Collins will verify that, was just, you know, I was going through life alone and working a lot, and that's something I need to work on also, is to limit, like I said, create boundaries for myself.
Right.
And so that was the reason for that relapse.
Okay, sir. Well, then, the board is going to get ready to go into discussion. We do our discussion in public under the open meeting law, but I want to give you the opportunities or anything. You've given us a very comprehensive report. But is there anything else you've thought of that you would like the board to know before we consider your case?
I would just like to let you guys all know that I wasn't coming here today to waste your time and to create excuses. I know what I need to do regardless if you let me out now or then. That's inevitable. You know, I got 7 years probation afterward. So if I don't fix myself now, then I'm already looking at myself coming back here. And that's not something I plan to do. Renee had a daughter. Her name was Erwin Early that I was caring for in Sierra Vista. When I get out, I would love to take care of her, but I know I need to take care of myself first. And I know she's waiting for me. Other than that, I know Don Barrett has my back as in getting jobs or whatnot. He knows I have a good head. I have the potential and I have the heart and kindness to, you know, give opportunity. But like I said, the two things I didn't do was be selfish with myself and to get counseling. And I think if I get those two down, I think I'm on the right path. And I want to say thank you for your time. And I'll let you guys go into discussion to create your final decision.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. The board is now in discussion. This is certainly not your typical case, in that Mr. Walzer has a very sensible and has had a lot of insights about his own situation, giving us a very comprehensive report, which completely lines up with everything we have on the page in front of us. As he said, he's not making excuses. He had a series of losses, personal losses, and still tried to keep working and even discharged himself early from a program and was getting jobs for other people or arranging work for other people. He seemed to have a very good relationship with his parole officers. I'm really kind of torn on this one because I know normally 180 days of absconding would say to us that he has no business being on community supervision, and yet he has explained that he seems like a very low risk given his risk assessment scores, and he is stating his intent, and I believe him, to get his life together. And he does have the 7 years of probation after as well, which will help him. I said that'll give him some structure and guidance. So on this one, I would truly like to hear some input from fellow board members, because I'm very torn on this one.
I'm torn as well. Oh, excuse me.
No,
well,
please.
Mr. Johnson first. John,
I'm the same way. It's just was having a problem with this 180.
I had a problem with that, yeah. I had a problem with that. But Mr. Walser seems very, he's got his head together. He seems responsible for himself. He was being responsible for other people and finding jobs, but he's got to knock that off.
The only thing that impressed me that he was helping others to find employment, and you know, and I know that I probably will never say this again, never said it before. Sometimes you just have to take a chance, and I just felt something about him.
I
can't put my hands on it, but I just feel that maybe we should give him a chance.
I feel like he is, compared with some of the people that we hear, many people, he's an adult. He's an adult.
Yes.
I mean, he's actually responsible for his own actions.
And, yeah.
And he, you know, and I'll say this because I know he's listening. The board has no authority whatsoever to place him in any particular program. And so if we were to reinstate, it would be up to the parole officers to do that. But what the board has the authority to do is to say that he must complete a treatment program. So we could do that. Mr. Neal, do you have any thoughts? I'm sure you have thoughts.
Just what it all had to do with this. No, I agree with you. It's, I'm sitting here looking at the scale days and going like this, but listening to him, I kind of got in the middle there, and it's like, ever since, like Backer Wright said, there was a lot of in your life, you have to jump in with both feet or you'll never get anywhere.
All right. Okay, well, I'm going to make a motion then, and thank you, colleagues, very much, because I was very torn on this. I am going to make a motion to return to reinstate Mr. Walser on community supervision. And we will do that and suggest, well, this, it'll be the same, we'll continue on supervision, this is my motion, and that we will add a condition that he must, that we recommend placement and successful completion of a program that offers substance abuse treatment. I'm going to check mental health treatment too, and the reason, and I'll specifically write it on here, is for grief counseling. I think that would help him an awful lot. So I'm going to check, let's see, recommend placement, successful completion, substance abuse treatment, grief counseling. Grief counseling. I don't know why we have two on here that almost seem alike. Must enter and successfully complete program that offers. I think I'm just going to leave the other one. And this one for sure, PO to start revocation process upon first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA. That for sure. And I suppose I could put placement at parole officer's discretion, and it's everything's at the parole officer's discretion. But so that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Sorry, that was a wandering motion. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Dr. Wright and Mr. Dale. Okay, so Mr. Walser.
Yes, ma'am.
You heard the board's discussion, and this is, I have to tell you, this is very rare that we hear an individual such as yourself, and what I said, I think you probably heard, you're an adult. You speak like an adult. You're responsible for yourself, and you're responsible for your own actions. So the board is, this is very, very, very unusual.
I've heard that quite a bit.
Yes, that the board would, especially that the board would reinstate someone with 180 days of abscond. That flies in the face of community supervision, because the deal is you stay in touch with your parole officers. But I think you did anyway.
Yes, I did.
It sounds like you did. And that is what is doing it for me, that you are a responsible person. So this is what we're doing for you. The parole officers will have the discretion as far as where you go or what program, But we're going to recommend to them specifically substance abuse treatment, and also we check mental health treatment, but it's really for the grief counseling, sir. I think you think that'll really help you. And also that the revocation process will start right away on the first time there's a diluted, positive, missed, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA. So you got to be real serious about the UAs.
I'm very serious about my life right now, so yes.
Well, good. Well, we're taking a chance on you, and we hope that you'll make the investment in yourself as well, sir.
Can I say something, please?
Please do.
To the whole parole board and you as well, I just want to say thank you. You know, I spent myself the past month trying to figure out what I would say, but I think in the end, you know, it's really owning up to what I did and going forward. Not creating, you know, excuses on why I did it, you know, this or that. And I just want to say I appreciate the time you took to actually listen to me. And I came in here today with all the faith in the world that no matter what happened, it was the right thing that would happen, that I would have to go through. And other than that, you guys, this is not an investment you will be ashamed of making. You know, I think I have the potential to be somebody, and I just needed the right tools to get there again. So I just want to say thank you.
Okay, Mr. Walzer, well, we think you already are somebody. So we just hope you're somebody that the next time we see or talk to you, it's in Safeway or somewhere, and you're not wearing orange. Okay, sir. All right. Well, this concludes your hearing, and we'd appreciate if you'd give the phone back to the CO3, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.